Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. Today, we want to thank you for listening to our broadcast. We hope you'll tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. Please give it a look and let us know what you think. At the end of this broadcast, you'll begin the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. We want nothing from you. Just come with an open Bible and an open mind and let us help you understand your need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for your sin. We have been looking at the subject of conversions. Today we are in Acts chapter 16, and we are discussing the conversion of two people, of Lydia and of the jailer. We begin with Lydia in verse 14 of Acts 16. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us, and she was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God, and the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. Now, notice that the women were down, came to the river, and customary made, notice in verse 13, "And on the Sabbath day we went out to the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there." Now again, remember, the law of Moses is no longer under, we're no longer under that. But there were Jews who were still following the law of Moses, so they went to where they knew there would be people there, and Paul went and he preached to Lydia, who was there making prayer. So this is the conversion of Lydia. Now, notice that this woman was a businesswoman. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira. Now, it does not specifically state how. Many assume that what is not stated here anywhere. How did the Lord open her heart? Now, some try to claim that he did this in a miraculous way, and that was the only way she came to know the truth. But the Lord opened the heart just as he opened the hearts on the Jews in Acts 2, just like he did the Samaritan in Acts 8, and the eunuch in Acts 8, and Cornelius in Acts 10. How did he open their heart? By the preaching of the gospel. That's how he opened her heart to hear the things spoken to Paul. She had to hear words. God gave her a receptive willingness to listen to what Paul said. But again, she had to believe it. She had to accept what she heard. And the evidence is in verse 15 that she heeded the things spoken by Paul, and her household were baptized. Now, again, people take liberty with the word household. They use this as an example that babies or children were christened. But the Bible says nothing about that. The Bible says nothing about children being baptized or infants being baptized. They assume because she had a household that she had infant children. Well, I have a household. I don't have any infant children in it. I would guess that many of you are listening to me. You make up a household, but that doesn't necessarily imply that you have children in it. That is a false teaching. But notice the process. The gospel is preached. The heart is opened. Attendance is given to the things spoken, and then the obedient is judged faithful. Notice the obedience of Lydia. She obeyed what she heard. And again, what does it say she did? It says, and she was baptized. Again, we see the water. Again, we see this part of conversion includes baptism. But then we turn our attention to the other conversion in the book of Acts 16, and that is the Philippian jailer. But we need to understand, beginning in verse number 16, that there were things that happened that caused Paul and Silas to be cast into prison. Paul and Silas had cast out a demon out of a servant girl that was following them around and confessing that they were the preaching the true God of heaven. And so they were following, she was following them around, and this began to annoy him. This began to annoy Paul, and so he cast the demon out of her. He cast it out of her. And by casting it out of her, then he had done a miracle. And now when those who were making money off her ability, they were now angry because now that the demon was gone, now they could not have a money maker. And so they began to be angry about that. And what did they do? They made a false charge against him. And when the master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them to the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive and observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. So we see Paul and Silas are arrested for what? For doing a good thing, for preaching the gospel. They are condemned because they did a miracle, and because of the miracle, the profit that these charlatans were getting from this woman who was possessed is now gone. And now since their money is gone, now they make false charges against them and they're cast into prison. Now notice, they're put into the inner prison and their feet are in stocks. Now, what have they done? They've done nothing but preach the gospel. They did a miracle to help a woman who was possessed by a demon. And what did they get in exchange? They got thrown into prison. And so what are they doing while they're in prison? While they're in prison, what are they doing? Are they wallowing in self-pity? No. Let's look at verse 25. "And at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God." And notice, "and the other prisoners were listening to them." Notice the other prisoners were listening to the prayers and the singing of Paul and Silas. Why are they praying and singing when they're cast into prison for doing the right thing? Because they're praising God. "Now suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul said with a loud voice, 'Do yourself no harm, for we are all here.'" Notice, Paul tells the jailer who had jailed them, put them in stocks, placed them in prison, and when this earthquake happens, and miraculously all the chains are dropped from their person, and the doors are open, everybody can leave. And under Roman law, if the prisoner got away, then you would pay for whatever that punishment of that individual was. And thinking that all the prisoner had escaped, he was about to take his life. He was about to take his own life. But notice, Paul stopped him. Paul didn't allow him to kill himself. He said, "Don't do yourself any harm. We're all here." And then he called for light. And he said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all that were in his house. Now notice, they told him to believe on the Lord, and him and his household would be saved. Was that all they did? No. In verse 32, it says they spoke the word of the Lord to him. Why? Because he had to know what to believe in. He was told to believe. Believe what? Believe in who? Believe to do what? He needed information. He needed information, and so they spoke the word of the Lord to him. Now notice in verse 33, he took them out the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. And when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them and rejoiced, having believed in God with all of his household. Notice what we see here. We see a man who shows repentance, a jailer that takes his prisoner to his own house and washes their stripes. That's a sign of compassion, of empathy. And then he feeds them. He takes care of their human necessities. And immediately, he and his house were baptized. Now, we know that this is in the middle of the night because Paul and Silas were singing at midnight. So why the urgency? Why doing it right now? Why did they do it right away? There was an urgency here. And notice, even though it doesn't say anything about belief or repentance, we see it there by their actions. We see it by their actions that they believed and repented. How many jailers do you know that take their prisoners to their home and wash their bodies and clean them up and then give them food to eat? How many jailers do you know that do that? None. You know none that does that. But why did he do it? Because he was so happy because of what the word that they spoke to him. What did he ask? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they told him what that entailed. They spoke the words of the Lord to him to tell him what that entailed. Now, what we see is the jailer doing the same thing that everybody else did. They had the gospel preached to them, showed them their condition before God, showed them why Jesus died for them, showed them their need for the blood that Jesus shed on the cross of Christ, and they immediately, in the same hour of the night, in the middle of the night, they submit to baptism. Now, if baptism is not essential to salvation, why did they do that? Why did they submit to baptism in the middle of the night? And why did he take them to his own home, clean their wounds, and feed them? That is a sign of remorse and a sign of repentance. All this comes together in that they did exactly what the Jews did in Acts 2, what Cornelius did in Acts 10, what the Samaritan did in Acts 8, what the eunuch did in Acts 8, and what Saul did in Acts 9. We see a consistent action. We see consistency in all of these conversions. They come in contact with the truth. They have to make a decision about the truth. And then they have to obey it by confessing their sin, by confessing Christ, and submitting to baptism in order that they would compact the blood of Christ. Read Romans 6, 1 through 7, and Colossians 2, 11 through 13. That's how a man puts on Christ, Galatians 3, 27. So here is a jailer that obeys the gospel. And on one other thing, he was not told to leave his occupation in order to be a Christian. We're told that policemen and people that carry weapons, like in the military, can't be a Christian. The jailer was, and he was not told that he had to change occupations. He just believed God from the heart, and he obeyed the gospel, and he